Buongiorno, and welcome to TAF Talks, the show all about influencing positive change and doing things differently. My name is Jamie Waugh, the Programme Manager and Creative Lead for Together and Active Future, and alongside me, as always, is the charmer, the chancer, Elton's tiny dancer, it's Mr. Ken Masser. Ken, how are you doing, mate?
Fantastic, thank you. Hello, hello, hello. We are, I'm really excited about this episode. Ooh. It's going to be a good one. And I'm going to tell you what it's called right at the start, because I think that we've come up with a good title for it. So today's podcast is Tina Pilkington Behind Enemy Lines. So that sounds exciting. I'm going to properly throw Tina into the lines then in a minute. But just give you a flavour of what that's about. We're looking at the idea of having a representative from a funding body involved in your project. So what do you think about the idea of an organisation that funds your project but with a dedicated member of team that's in it? Would you feel that that's someone who's kind of spying on what you're doing? Is it someone who's keeping tabs? Is it someone who's influencing and taking part? And what does all that look like? And that's really real for TAF, because we have Sport England relationship manager, double world record holder, pilot manager, which we'll tell you about. We don't know what a job title is, and we're not sure that Tina does either.
Well, we'll find out.
But Tina Pilkington.
Just so you know, sorry, we'll say a little minute, but when you went pilot, I thought, shit, pilot. That lady has some skills.
So let's stick with double world record holder, Tina Pilkington. Welcome.
Yay. Good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. How are you doing, Tina?
I'm good, thank you. Yourselves?
Yes, good. Good. You did that very seriously straight away. Come on, you feeling good?
Yes.
Right, cool, feeling loose. Right, so Tina, one thing that we like to do is start with success factors.
Yep.
So I want to know what for you would be a really good podcast for you at the end of today.
For me is to enjoy it and actually not feel nervous about sitting here in front of you two with a big microphone in front of me. And I think secondly is actually on this one, and especially with the topic, to really find out from you how you feel about me actually being part of the team. So I can actually learn from that and support more if need be.
The tables have turned.
Wow, awesome. So we're going to proper go in on you, yeah? That's what we agreed, wasn't it, yeah?
All in.
Destroy Tina. Right, brilliant. So I've captured those success factors, which are you want to enjoy it.
Yes.
Ideally not feel too nervous.
Yes.
And get some genuine Together and Active Future teams reflections on your role being embedded with us.
Yes.
Perfect. We'll come back to them at the end. So I think what we want to do is firstly just give you a chance, if that's okay, to just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your role in Sport England and with us as well.
Okay. So I am the local delivery pilot manager for Sport England.
Thanks,
just
clarifying.
To clarify that.
So local delivery
pilot manager for Sport England. So there's 10 of us across the UK supporting each of the pilots. My role, I think, like the pilot, has really evolved from when first started 18 months ago, because really our roles have changed as the pilot have changed direction. So obviously I'm here to support Pennine Lancashire and Together an Active Future. Also here to support the national team and make sure the information is going in two directions. To support locally with relationships with Sport England and the wider relationship. So it's not just me. It's actually how we can support as an organisation locally. So that's, I would say, my role in a nutshell.
Your role in a nutshell. Do you feel like... Do you have a job description that states this is what it is, or is it actually quite an open kind of...
I don't know. I think like all roles, you do have a job description, but as I said, I think that's probably, if I went back to it now, some of it would be totally different to where it started 18 months ago. And I think actually all the pilot managers have felt that, that the roles have changed, and we've certainly internally had conversations about, well, how is our roles changing? What does that mean? What does that look like? Because we don't know.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll probably get into a little bit of that then as we get into this next kind of the first theme of the day.
Mm.
So I think what we're going to do now is have a bit of a chat, and I think what would be good firstly is to get your perspective, Tina, on why do you think Sport England have taken this approach that Ken outlined of embedding their own members of teams within the local delivery pilots?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think it's a totally different way of working. You know, for Sport England, you've mentioned it at the beginning that we're a funder, and actually we want to move away from that. This, the local delivery pilot was never just a funding part, it was investment. So it was really crucial for us that we actually invested our time and resources within the pilot, so we get something out of it as well. We've always said we're not experts in this. You know, again, it's totally different for Sport England to say that, and a real honest view that we don't have all the answers. So I think for us to actually have people embedded within the pilots and supporting the pilots would really help our own learning as well and development to share wider outside of the 12 pilot areas.
I think that's a really interesting distinction in terms of moving away from being a funder to being a... What was the word that you used?
It's investment.
It's investment, and that there's dual learning and outputs for both parties, almost like a partnership exchange as opposed to a transactional, we give you resources and you do a few bits and make up a fancy report at the end and everyone's happy.
Absolutely, and that's the way we've always worked, that we've just given out funding, we've had reports back, KPIs have been ticked, and that's it, move on to the next project. This is totally different, and you mentioned about the kind of transactional collaboration, and that is really important to us. It's a big piece of learning that we've got from all the pilots, that actually we need to have stronger relationships and that it isn't transactional anymore. So hopefully by the likes of myself being involved locally, that's happening. I'd welcome your views on that.
Well, I think, because we're going to cover this a little bit throughout, it's going to probably be a thing to run through. It's, what's an interesting factor is, before we knew Tina and got to know Tina, you know, trying to think back to how did we feel about a member of Sport England coming and sitting within our team, and was it Sport England being a little bit risk averse, a little bit worried about what Pennine Lancashire might be up to or any of the other LDPs? Was it them admitting we're a little bit worried about this new world we're going to get into, so we're going to kind of put members of our team in there to help us? And trying to think back a little bit to what our thoughts were on it at the time, which is quite a while ago now, actually.
Yeah, a couple of years, I guess, since Tina's been with us. I mean, I think for me, there was probably some of those feelings thinking back in terms of how is this going to work, what does this look like? And I think we've also seen that the different pilot managers, as we've met with the other pilots and the different pilot managers, everyone has their own style.
Yeah.
And you've been really involved and a team member, and being, you know, you've been part of Together Active Future and part of Sport England almost in two separate layers, which has been really good, I think, for me. But I think some of the other pilot managers, from what we've seen, perhaps have a different approach, which is equally valid. And that's been interesting to watch and intriguing, just to think about, well, what is the right style? And maybe there's not a right style, maybe it depends on who the person is. But I think there was certainly some, not anxiety, maybe anxiety is a strong word, but trepidation. That's a long word, isn't it?
It is.
I don't know what it means.
No.
It sounded good, though, didn't it, for a second? Just in terms of how will it work and what will that relationship like? And a real desire to be creative and free of constraint.
Yeah.
And a worry that actually we're going to get really pinned down to doing things in a certain way that might not be how it would go differently.
I think, because there's an interesting dynamic for me in this, which is... It's hard because you almost want to remove Tina the person from this. And ideally, that's how we feel most weeks.
I leave now.
But what I mean is almost remove the fact that we know you and we know you so well now. Because it's actually... It's funny to think about, should the role of a Sport England programme manager be there to influence LDPs? I mean, you're nodding your head immediately, but then there's a bit that says... But then by influencing it, are you allowing LDPs to become the thing that they kind of would have naturally wanted to become? And you're not playing an objective role anymore once you start to do that. You're starting to flavour it and kind of influence it based on your own experiences and skills, which personally feels like a good thing, but it is an interesting thing to consider of if you're placed here to be objective.
Yeah.
Coming back to that original JD, job description, sorry. To then know that you're starting to influence some of the things that happen, you stop becoming objective to a degree.
I think there's levels of influence though, isn't there? And there's some, there's, I suppose, this is all about sharing learning. So again, if there's learning, we've said we're not the experts, especially in the system change in the work that we're doing at the moment, but there's also, there's a lot of expertise within Sport England. So again, if there is some areas that we can influence and share that learning, then we've got the opportunity to do that. I think you're right though, it's about the pilot, and we're not here to tell you what to do, and that's never good, that was never the case. But I think there is an opportunity to positively influence sometimes, if it's needed.
And I think, and you might be able to shed some light on this, I suppose, because what we try to do in the TAF team is, if you're in a space with us, you're part of our team, and we expect you to offer your views and opinions and your ideas. You know, we never want somebody to sit in the background and stuff. So actually, whether or not you wanted to be offering your own ideas and thoughts, we make you do that by the nature of what we try to do on a Monday. We want somebody to jump in and challenge. And I don't know if that's the same for some of the other LDP program managers, you know, whether or not, whether you wanted to be objective or not, we almost remove that ability from you by saying, no, Tina, what do you think? And give us a different idea, give us a different perspective.
I think the roles of other pilot managers are different because of circumstance. I think it, going back to your point of me offering my, being objective and being part of the team and my opinions, I think one, I wanted that. From when I first started, that was very much a choice, because I have got experience, I've got lived experience from especially a local kind of on the ground level as well, so I wanted to be able to offer some of that. So whilst I've got the Sport England expertise backing me up, I've also got my own lived experience, which I think from all of us in the team is really, really valuable. As I said, it was my own choice that I wanted to be really embedded in the team from the day I was appointed. I remember coming in here for the first time and meeting yourself, I think it was Ken Barnsley, and actually saying, I want to be part of the team. I don't want to be someone who's just a phone call or an email away. I'm lucky that I live quite locally, so again, I'm able to probably be part and parcel of it. But for me, this is very much about, again, relationships, trust, honesty. You know, and again, that's me as a person. I am a very honest person. So I would hopefully represent Sport England in that way as well, that it's got to be about trust and honesty. And I think you can't get that by just being on the phone and not being embedded in it. Those relationships are really important.
And how did... So I'm assuming the reason that you were allocated to Pennine Lancashire was you'd heard we were legends, and you demanded to come and join us.
I didn't have a choice. And to be, I mean, the, when I was appointed, there were two external roles, and I think that's, you know, one of the things you mentioned about other pilot managers as well, is a lot of people are already internally as part of Sport England. So, you know, it was different for them to suddenly be embedded within a pilot and a team. It was a totally different way of working for them. So that may be why there's a bit of difference, whereas myself and Kate, who were appointed to GM, came in new and from external. So we kind of probably had a bit more of an opportunity to do that.
And I think it's been new for everyone, hasn't it?
Yeah.
In the sense that I can't recall any sort of national lottery funding organisation really working in this way, where we've got an employed person who's part of a specific project from the national body, if you like, from Sport England in this case. And so it's been different for Sport England, and thinking that's been raised some interesting discussions and challenges along the way. It's been good for, I would say good, I think, for Pennine Lancashire, and a different way, and we'll come on to some of the ways in which it's...
It's been really valuable for us as well as an organisation, because as I said before, it's not just me that's kind of linked to you as a pilot. You know, it's enabled us to really widen the relationships, and it's something as a directorate we're really keen to do internally. And having us embedded as part of the pilots has enabled us to do that. And again, it's not just me, you've got Justine, you know, as our strategic lead, who's really, you know, kind of embedded at a strategic level as well. And you obviously know other members of the team that through us have really got to know the pilots really, really well, and support.
I think, I'm going to bring on a couple of examples of where else we might have kind of seen this, and then we'll maybe get into the next bit of this. So I think So I've worked in the NHS for quite a few years now, probably getting on 15 years, which I know I don't look old enough to have been in the NHS.
Just wondering what you did with the other 30, 40 years of your working life.
So when I joined the NHS, you used to have commissioners. So commissioners are the people who decide what types of services do we need in an area to help people, and providers who are then the people who deliver those services. And when I joined the NHS, they were just at the point where they were starting to move those two things to be separate. So I joined when they were still quite close working relationships. And for various, let's not go into the political reasons or whatever else, they started to introduce a separation between them and introduce an element of kind of business and transactional things between them. And I think I've kind of seen that now over the last decade, and I'm starting to see it maybe start to try to come back around a little bit. Because I think perhaps what was lost a little bit in that is that people dynamic and that relationship dynamic, where you were actually then in the same room with a person trying to work out the best solution to both of your problems to deliver something awesome for the person at the end of that. And as soon as you introduce business and transactions and different things like that, you end up introducing, unfortunately, behaviours that might be more transaction-driven or income-driven or looking after my part of it-driven, as opposed to doing the best things together to deliver something really special. And I think I'm hoping that the NHS is starting to try to work out how to come back around to that way of thinking, and it does happen in really good ways, but certainly less to a less degree. And I think Sport England almost testing the waters for themselves as a massive government organisation is a good step towards that.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, we're going to pause slightly before, in the second half, we're going to move on to what some of the really good bits have been, some of the challenges, and what people might consider if they're going to go down this route in the future.
And some of the really bad bits.
Yeah.
I mean, you said you wanted roasting, didn't you, at the start?
Not quite.
So, in this middle section, it's our Pennine quickfire questions.
Okay.
And we're going to put on a timer to create this sense of real pressure for you, and ask you 9 questions. You just want the first thing that comes into your head.
Okay.
I will get the timer going. If we feel like anything you've said is absolute garbage or hilarious, we will pause the timer and get you to talk about that a little bit more. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's go.
What is your nickname?
T.
What's your favourite movie ever?
Dirty Dancing.
One thing that annoys you?
Dishonesty.
Well, and one thing that excites you?
Oh.
And that's the noise she makes.
Jamie, come on.
No, oh gosh. I don't know, I get excited about all kinds of things.
It was one thing then.
Going out with my friends, I don't know.
How long does it take you to get ready to go out with said friends?
2 minutes.
Describe yourself in 3 words.
Honest, sometimes gullible. That's 3
That's
words.
Very good.
And can we just say, on the sometimes gullible, you're 100% agree. Carry on.
Qualifications, experience or personality?
Mixture of experience and personality.
Okay. If there's a spider in your house, do you kill it or set it free?
Set it free.
And if you had one superpower, what would it be?
To be invisible.
What that? Why? What are you getting up to that you don't want
I love people watching, so I'd love to be invisible so I could just go into places where I can't normally go.
Peeping in windows, stuff like that.
Not quite that, but yeah.
Okay, one final question.
One final question. Jamie or Ken?
Ken. Because you tried this on me before and I said Jamie last time, so you're now 1-1.
Fair enough.
Technically, this is the only one that counts, though, because this is the podcast. So it's 1-0, and I'm devastated. Thanks very much. Okay.
I don't know what the running tally is, but it could be like, I don't know.
I have no idea.
10 or 12-0, probably.
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting a whooping, to be honest. Right, okay, moving it on. So what we're going to take is some of that chat that we've just had there and turn it into our own personal experiences, just to give people a flavour of what it means to be somebody within this. And then we'll talk about whether or not we think that this kind of model is a good idea and what people need to consider when they do it. So let's talk about some of the things that we think having Tina embedded in our team. What does that help us to do, Ken?
So a couple of things to kick off. I think it's given stakeholders confidence that the programme has been backed by Sport England. So rather than us submitting a funding bid and Sport England giving us money, every step of the way, as we've worked with the local partners, whether that be hospitals or GPs or councils or third sector organisations or members of the public. We've had Sport England colleagues with us the whole time saying, yes, we agree, this is the approach we want to go down. I think that's given people a lot of confidence.
And I think just on that one, that is a massive one, to be honest, because we can be a core team all we want and you know, kind of approach things in the way we do. But you do need the kind of person there going, yep, and we 100% back this approach, so we would love you all to get behind it. And whether that's Justine, who's come to some of our really senior leadership meetings,
yeah,
and just given that stamp of approval, or Tina, who's joined, you know, Claire, our programme lead, at some meetings with some district council chief execs, to just give that backing and authority is massive, because that then helps them realise that this approach is the right approach for us and Sport England,
yeah,
and means they can get behind it too. It's massive.
Especially when it's a different or a new approach, and this project is quite different and quite new in terms of the way it's collaborating, in terms of the way it's focusing on changing the way things work and the processes and the systems.
And
which
the time we're taking, because yeah, sure, let's be honest, most of the public sector stuff, people want to see results and action now.
Yeah.
So I think generally there is this, what's happening, it needs to be happening, and actually Sport England going, no, we're comfortable that this is taking the time to be the thing it needs to be. That's a biggie that, yeah, gives us a bit of breathing room, to be honest.
The next one that I've got on my list...
I've
done a bit of a list, like to prepare, you know. Yeah. It's because I don't really know a great deal about much, so if I have to put a few things down, I normally rob them off other people. I think it's also given us an objective view and tying us back to the overarching principles of what Sport England are looking for. I think when you normally, or historically, have started a project, this, you kind of get the brief, you write your plan according, yeah, to the brief, you get the money, and then it can change and adapt potentially, which is the right thing to do. But you, Tina, have really offered us that constantly just trying to tie back of, is this the overarching principle? Is this what we're supposed to be doing? And just that extra view, I think, has been,
yeah,
really
just
valuable.
That extra sense check of, and can we just check that this still meets that original intention that we set out, that Sport England picked us almost on the basis of?
Because,
yeah, like I said, it's easy to go down various paths, mm, and lose sight a little bit of the original intention of this. I think one for me, I think, is a biggie. So, you know, as people know when they kind of meet me, I'm really kind of keen and a little bit obsessed with this idea of, when people talk about TAF, it's really important to us that they do so in the right manner, in the right spirit, and get across the things that really, really matter to us. And I think because you're with us on this and you've seen us design, yeah, the design principles, and you've seen us create the look, the sound, the feel, that actually you're then in a position when Sport England say, Tina, you need to give us an update to our board or to our senior management group, we have the confidence that you're standing there talking about TAF in the way that we would do it ourselves,
yeah,
as opposed to your own version of this, or a version that's done in a corporate language that we wouldn't want to do.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes we push you a little bit when you say we've got a presentation, we'll say, right, well, how creative are you getting with it, and how can we make it a little bit better? But I think that just gives us confidence that Sport England, because they're removed from us to a degree, the senior managers, as you'd expect, that actually they're getting a real flavour of TAF through you.
Yeah.
And I think that's massive for us.
And I think that's been really important. And I think, though, as a person, I'm similar to yourselves, especially with the language side of it. I think that's been absolutely really, really important, both as a pilot, but actually in changing Sport England going forward. You know, it's something that they've really recognised is, you know, the language that they use, the look, the sound, the feel to people locally has to change going forward. And I think we've been able to influence that, not just from my role, but from other pilots as well, where we are on the ground seeing what's really happening locally, to be able to have those conversations back.
And I think it is that Sport England learning. It's also the fact that I think historically we would have always just submitted a written report.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to put character and feeling into the writing, and that personal connection into Sport England. Have you been able to actually sit and talk with colleagues about it?
Yeah.
I mean, has that felt different for you?
Definitely. No, definitely. But it goes back to my very first point about it's about investment. So what are we getting from it as an organisation? Whereas you're right, in the past, it was reports coming in. We'd see that people were becoming more active. But actually, as an organisation, what were we learning from that? What were we taking from that? And I think this has really enabled us to learn as an organisation, which has been really important.
Okay, so the last big one on my list was what's been, I think, really important for me, specifically in our little town of Rossendale, is the links that you've been able to help us establish with all the other parts of Sport England. So Sport England's this huge sort of beast up in the clouds that's really difficult sometimes to connect with and understand what all the different moving parts are. But you've been able to facilitate some of that connection with the planning department or facilities or whatever it might be. And I think that's been quite different from how it might otherwise have been if you'd have not been here, and understanding what the different funding streams are and starting to connect some of the work together.
And I think that's, again, a big part of the learning for us as an organisation, as well as how we can do that going forward. You know, Chris, who's our executive director, kind of describes us sometimes as a telephone exchange. So you can see the calls coming in and then the wires going out, and how we're kind of trying to connect it all. And we're trying to do that as an organisation internally as well. So again, there's been a big piece of learning in the importance of that.
You might just need to update that reference. The telephone wires being connected between lines. We need a modern day version of that.
Maybe that's how Sport England still operates. Maybe that's part of the problem.
Hello, line 3, I'll connect you now. Sorry, Chris, if you're listening. Right, okay, so I think what would be interesting is firstly understanding, so they're the things that we think Tina does for us that helps us massively. I don't know if the other programme managers and the LDPs do, but if they're not doing all of that, perhaps that's something they could think about. Am I doing that for my LDP? Because that for us is some massive stuff. Now let's get into the flip side of it, the bit where we can give Tina some now. What isn't, or what's challenging about Tina being embedded within our team?
Do you want me to start?
Yes, please. It's a long list you've got in front of you there, blimey.
I think the first one to pick up for me is around, I think there's, every now and then in all relationships, there's things that are frustrating, and sometimes you just want to be like, this is so annoying that it happens this way. But Tina's obviously always sat there, so she either has to take it on the chin and be offended, or there's not really, because of the relationship that Sport England are providing the resources, but also the legal contracts, whatever else it might be, you don't have necessarily that same space when you've got an embedded person from Sport England to just have a bit of a do at Sport England, even if it's not how you really feel. But
You do that.
Yeah, we do.
Anyway, but for me, that goes back to the honesty, doesn't it? And the trust that I'd like to think that you could still do that, because that's where there may be reasons why, I suppose, not... Well, there may be reasons why Sport England are asking you to do something. But on the other hand, if you feel that it's something that's really wrong and out of character with everything that we should be doing, I can go back and feed that back.
Yeah, I think the challenge there is more for Tina, being able to sit there in a comfortable position when we're roasting. We're not roasting anybody, to be honest. But when we might have some...
Polite feedback,
delivered in an impolite way, being able to take that in a grace and a manner that she does.
And that might be, and you know, as I just think about that, it might be something that's fairly, it is part of our group dynamic, isn't it, that maybe that doesn't happen in other pilots and other projects, but we're very open about our feelings, and in some cases just say the things that are in the front of our minds, even if it's not how we really feel deep down. And so that frank exchange of ideas has led us to a really good place in some of the creative things we've done. But we occasionally, not worried about you, because you can look after yourself, but don't want you to feel uncomfortable either, that when there's a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, Tina can look after herself, so I've been told off by Tina on email, quite rightly, when I've portrayed something that was incorrect. She cracked me wrong. She's clapped me around the head a couple of times as well.
I have as well.
Yeah, you have.
She's just admitted that.
Yeah, so I've now got her.
Get your claim.
That's physical abuse. I can get her now.
Assault, probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't believe I could reach.
And when you see the photograph of us on our podcast, you understand why Tina said that. I think one thing that's kind of challenging, I think, well, it's challenging, but like everything else, it's a positive challenge, is the second you embed a person from Sport England on the team, the team, and I'm going to phrase it wrongly first and then we'll open, the team loses the ability to pull the wool over anybody's eyes, to be a little bit sneaky, to not be absolutely open and honest. Now, we are a very open and honest team regardless, but I think what it means is it gives Sport England the confidence that they know we're open and honest, because we don't have a choice. We can't kind of be a little bit kind of sneaky and perhaps portray something in a more positive manner than it currently is. we have to be an open book. And actually, what's beautiful about that, though, is it creates the culture of everything going forwards. We're an absolute open book. We have to be. So we want everybody else to be an open book with us.
Yeah.
So I think it's challenging in as much as, like you say, we just have to say the things that we feel and give the reality of the reality as it is.
Yeah.
But actually, why wouldn't people do that? But we do know that not everybody does that. We do know that there is a nature for people to maybe write a bid, secure the funding, and then create really polished reports that probably don't tell the real truth of the matter, because that's the nature of.
Yeah, and I think the old way, if you like, of funding by contract and by transaction, it almost requires people to write the report in the best possible way, because if you tell the whole truth, if you like, then there's that in that back of your mind, the risk that actually I might not get funded next time because I've not been successful. So the whole system creates a sense of lack of transparency and openness and honesty, if you like, which is one potential argument why this is so much a better way to do things.
It is, but it's also a crucial part of all the pilots as well, is that, you know, what isn't going well and why not. And you know, we've openly said to people, we don't just want to hear about the things that are working well, which is, as you said, we've always done, you know, historically. You know, we want to know why things aren't working so we can actually learn from that rather than it just being brushed under the carpet.
So, and there's one for me, and this is going to make us both smile at each other, Tina. There are times when what's really challenging is when you fundamentally disagree with something that maybe Sport England are kind of asking to do. Now, in the nature that this is all learning, it's fair to say that we all have a position at the start of something that then might change to be a different kind of position. But actually, there are times when we're asked to do a thing, and because we're quite a vocal team at times, sometimes we might just fundamentally disagree, and we can find ourselves in a position where, and I'm going to use the words, Tina, baselines. Now, me and you have had multiple conversations about this. And this is ultimately because, quite rightly, you'll say that Sport England are asking each LDP to provide a certain level of information.
Yeah.
And my perspective, I think it might be even mine, it's not even the team's perspective, I think it's my own hobby horse, but...
Hold it by yourself.
Is that I have, to a degree, disagreed with what's being asked of us. And me and you, you know, once every now and again, we'll sit down again and you'll look at me and you'll say, Jamie, we need to get past this. And I'll say, no, Tina, we don't. We just need to agree that we're not going to do it. And that can be quite challenging because I think you've said before, I agree with both sides of this.
Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting dynamic for you. You might want to just kind of touch on that. No. The fact when you agree with both sides of a thing that isn't necessarily going to achieve something together.
Yeah, and I do agree on that particular topic that I do agree from both sides. I can see absolutely 100% why it's important for Sport England, but I also get it from a very local level of why it's not maybe relevant at this moment in time for the pilot. And I think for me, again, it's to share that's my role, is to share that.
Yeah.
Both back to Sport England, so at least they have an understanding of where you guys are coming from.
I think that's perfect, isn't it? We'll remove the example and it's that bit.
Yeah.
It's so that what you can do is explain to Sport England in a way that you've understood from us, well, this is why they're saying that.
Yeah.
They're not just being difficult.
Yeah.
They're not just being objectionable, although we can.
Yeah, you are kind of being objectionable, to be honest.
Yeah.
I object with that point. I fundamentally disagree. But I think it is that ability to then have a person there to say, well, I'll tell you exactly why now. And that's, we still haven't got off it, you know, we still haven't sorted this one out yet, but...
We're getting there, then.
We're getting there by removing me from the conversation. I think
exactly.
That's how we're doing it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's how we've managed it now. Just don't have the conversation when Jamie's in the room and we'll be able to move on.
Just ignore your objection and everyone just move on.
Okay, speaking of moving on.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked about loads about the helps and some of the challenges. So let's now just frame it to wrap up the podcast. So... if people are thinking about this type of model for the future, or if Sport England are currently considering whether or not this is a good idea, whether they do it, it's probably worth just drawing out a few things to consider about this model. So, Ken, again, do you want to kind of touch on a few?
Yeah, a couple. I think it's worth considering it's a relatively expensive model, in that you've got an extra person, if you like, a Sport England employee being engaged in the system. So wherever that cost comes from, there's a cost to that.
So yeah. So if you didn't have a huge multi-million pound project and you only had one of,
yeah, if it was a 50 grand project, it would be hard to have someone almost full time embedded in the team. You couldn't do that.
Especially on Tina's salary. Wow.
But like one day a month for that.
I wish.
For 3 months.
But for me, again, that, and I agree, but actually it's a value for money, isn't it? So it's a value from a Sport England point of view, what we're getting out of having those positions.
And me and Ken are just working on the formula for the value of money that you bring us at the moment, so we'll let you know what that turns out.
I think it'll turn out well, which leads me on to my best point. That I think the next, not my best,
your point. Best point. Well, we'll be the judge of your best point. Thank you very much.
It might not be my best one, but it is the next
one. What an ego this man has.
I think it's really important to make sure you get the person that's matched to the team. It's all about that relationship and the interaction. I think our experience of Tina, all joke aside, is that that's been brilliant, and the way that she's been able to mesh into our team and become not just colleagues but a sense of friendship and commitment to each other in terms of what we believe in and the principles we're trying to deliver the project by, and she's really bought in and been part of creating that, never mind just buying into it. So I think that someone who is really part of the team and can interact in a way that everyone respects and trusts has been a really important part. But as you move forward, perhaps a consideration both for projects and for funders is to collaborate on that recruitment to make sure that fit is right. I think would be a good learning point moving forward.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple more quick ones. I think be prepared for it, meaning that you create a transparency from day one, and I think that's an awesome thing, but be prepared for what that actually means, like we talked about before, and that leads to that, you know, be prepared to have open dialogue and be prepared for Tina to challenge you on a view, and Tina to be prepared for us to challenge her on our view, but be comfortable that that's the right thing for your project and what you're trying to achieve.
Is there anything that you think from Sport England's perspective are considerations, Tina?
No, I think what you've already said is absolutely spot on. You know, and
well done.
Just say it was my best point.
Yeah, no, I do, and I think that the transparency for me is being crucial anyway. I said before, that's something, that's who I am anyway as a person. So, but I think certainly from an organisational point of view as well, to have that honesty and that transparent relationship is crucial.
Okay. Any more, Ken?
Just one last one that springs to mind that we've already touched on, but that sense of gaining loads of connections with the funding organisation or the partner or the investor has been really valuable, and I think it will be valuable not long after this project, those relationships have been established now, and connections with all the different parts has been really, really important. So that's a massive upside for a partner who potentially has an investment from Sport England in the future. That's something that or just gets rolled in as extra value, if you like.
And I think for us, it's how we join that up. Yeah. So again, in the past, we may have funded lots in one place, but in different areas, different projects, but there was no join up. So this enables us to do that.
Okay, so that wraps it up nicely. So really, that is the value for money. So consider the fact that, yes, it will cost something, but yes, it connects you into lots of other things that can reap the benefits in the long term.
Yeah.
Absolutely think about the personality of that person being matched to the team. Be prepared for the transparency that creates and be in a good place to challenge each other in the best place for the people. Awesome. Right, okay, let's wrap that up. So we are going to quickly touch on the success factors from the start, Tina. So you wanted to enjoy yourself?
Yes.
Have you enjoyed yourself?
I've had a wonderful morning, thank you.
Very good.
It was super positive.
It was super positive. I'm not sure I believed it.
No, the face is saying something different.
Yeah. What you didn't see, she gave us the V sign when she said that.
Fair play to you though, you've been brave and you've took some tricky topics and questions. So
and you
what, is that in the last 2 years?
Yeah.
Or just today?
Thank you, Jenla, for putting up with us for so long.
You wanted to not feel nervous? I can't answer that for you. How are you feeling?
No, I feel fine.
Alright, wicked. And I can't remember writing on the last one. Oh, to actually learn whether or not to learn basically the value that we have put on this kind of approach, and particularly with you. And I think if it didn't come across in that podcast, we loved having you as part of this team. We wouldn't have changed you for anybody else that we've met in any of this time, and you've helped us massively. So you're as big a part of the team as any other member of this team for us.
We just need
I'll pay you later.
We just need you to move to Penang Lanksha now.
I'm adopted.
If you drop an accent, that would be good as well. Get a proper accent like ours, thanks. Okay, so it just over to me now to wrap up. So thank you so much for listening, as always. If you've enjoyed it, please do listen to our other podcasts and subscribe to be notified of future podcasts. We're on Twitter, so find us at Taff Talks. Tweet away, have your say. And it's really just for me to pass over to Tina to leave you with the final thought.
Bit of a cheesy one from that good old 80s pop group Funboy 3. It ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. And that's what gets results.